bringing in the harvest. Hallelujah. Anyone ever watched the movie, the award-winning movie, Schindler's List? Wow. That tells the true story of a guy called Oskar Schindler. He's a German businessman or industrialist who invested all his energy and time and his fortune in saving, according to fact, more than 1,300 Jews who would have otherwise been killed in Hitler's Holocaust. It's a hard watch, but at the end of that movie, because the war's at its end, the Jews he saved will become free men and women, while Schindler will become a fugitive. And in that closing, very, very heartwarming, difficult moment, he walks to his car and begins to weep. And he looks at his car and he regrets not swapping his car for additional lives. And he looks at his watch and regrets not selling it to save yet another life. And he says to his friend, "I could have done more. I could have done more. I could have done more." Oskar Schindler felt that, experienced that. He knew that he could have done more to save more Jewish people from perishing in the death camps. And I wonder, here we are, could you and I be doing more to save people from an eternity without God? I wonder. It says in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Amen. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And God will bless too, is the reading of his word today. We understand that Jesus did everything he could. Jesus did all that he could, but it was when he saw the crowds, the multitude of people presented to him who needed to be saved from eternal death, it was at that point Jesus was moved. Throughout his life on earth, Jesus ministered to the needs of the people all round about him, and you'll find and discover he met their physical needs. But he was also able to see way beyond that, beyond their physical needs. Jesus was able to see the very deepest needs of their hearts. Praise God. As Jesus looked at the multitudes all round about him, he was moved, Scripture says, with compassion for them. That word literally means to be moved in the heart or to be moved in the heart. He saw the reality right there of the needs of all the people gathering round about him all the time. He saw them as they were. Just as they were. And he shared this particular insight with his disciples. And here's the thing. Jesus wants us to see humanity, the dilemma of humanity, exactly the same way as he sees it. Are you hearing this? He wants us to see people as they really are. He wants you and I to be moved in the heart just as Jesus was moved in the heart. He wants you and I to be able to see the harvest through his eyes. Praise God. And that is the thought that I want to magnify for a few minutes today. See, when you and I see people as Jesus saw the crowds and as Oscar Schindler saw the Jews in Nazi Germany, it should move us. It should always move us. If we are to see life saved and won to Jesus, we need to see the harvest the same way as Jesus saw the harvest of spiritually lost people dying and facing a Christless eternity. So I wonder, how did Jesus see the harvest? It says there in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, then he, Jesus, said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. Hallelujah. You know, the world, they say the world is big. The crowds are huge. The number of spiritually lost and dying people today is overwhelming. In Jesus' day, the population of the world was about 170 million people. During January last month, 2024, just over 4 births and 2 deaths were expected worldwide every second. Every second. Every second, 4 births, 2 deaths. Do you know how many people are dying as we're standing here talking? The reality of what's taking place. The world's population is now over 8 billion and growing every day. Jesus looked at the crowds all around him and he saw a harvest that was ripe, a harvest that was plentiful. And I am sure all the disciples saw were people pushing and people shoving to get close to their leader, to get close to Jesus. But Jesus saw more, and thank God he did. Thank God he did. He saw people who needed to be saved by grace. Hallelujah. He saw a harvest that was ripe for the picking. He looked beyond their condition. He looked beyond their fault and their destination. And he saw a people that could be delivered. He saw a people that were ready to be changed. But he saw a people that needed to be saved. See, he didn't just see the problems. In fact, I don't think he saw the problems at all. I think Jesus saw the potential. And I think he still sees the potential in every one of us today. And I wonder, I ask myself this question often, what do we see when we look at the people all round about us? Do we see sinners lost in their darkness and spiritual apathy? Do we see the people as they are? Or do we see them as the Lord Jesus Christ could make them if they would only but come to Jesus? That is the view that Jesus had of lost men and lost women. He saw them not as they were, but as they could be by his grace, praise God. And I believe here we are, wow, many, 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 many years later, and I believe still today, we need that same kind of vision. We need that same kind of insight if we're going to reach people in this day and in this time. Now, one day, you know this, Jesus stood with his disciples outside the city of the Samaritans. Now, we know the Samaritans were a people despised by the Jews of Jesus' day. The Samaritans came about through an intermarriage, we know this, of Jews with the colonists sent to live in Israel by the Babylonians. We know this story. So Jesus went to the city of the Samaritans, and in the city, or just outside the city, he spoke to a sinful woman. Praise God. And he saw this woman not just as she was, hallelujah, but as she could be through grace. Praise him. He looked at her, and because he looked at her and saw her as he could be through grace, after that, many Samaritans were also saved because Jesus looked at the harvest as being everywhere, just not located to a certain place or time, but the harvest was everywhere, and the harvest today remains plentiful if we will see people exactly the same way Jesus saw people by his grace. Hallelujah. I believe we're still trying to get the modern day church to understand this incredible but simple truth. There are people everywhere today that just need Jesus. It's a simple gospel message. It's grassroots gospel this morning. The harvest, truly, I believe, remains plentiful. Many are ripe for the picking. We merely need to see it. Hear that. We need to see that, and then as the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to do something about it. Hallelujah. And I pray the Lord help us see the harvest through the loving eyes of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, the harvest truly is plentiful. There are people that we still need to reach. There is work that still must be done. And one of the greatest, listen to this, if not, perhaps the greatest danger of the modern church is that we no longer see this work as important. Lord have mercy. Sometimes it seems that everything else comes before the reaching of the lost with the word of God. Scripture says, hallelujah, the harvest is plentiful. Then if you look at that scripture again, you'll discover that the harvest, according to Jesus, is precious. It is a precious harvest. Not only was the harvest of people vast as Jesus looked down upon it and saw it, but those people amongst the crowd, they actually brought tears to the very eyes of the Master. All of those people, then, but more importantly now, matter to Jesus today. Make no mistake about it. Jesus Christ died for people. He died for the lost. When he saw the crowds, Scripture says in verse 36, he had compassion upon them. That word used for compassion, it is the strongest of all words for the word pity in the Greek language. It describes the love that actually moves a person to the very depth, the very core of their being. It describes that love, that intense love for a person. It is the type of love that moves most people to weep or to cry. It moved Oskar Schindler to weep over the Jewish people. Listen, church, today, it is this kind of love that we must have. It's this kind of love that moves people beyond sentimental feelings to actually some more form of heartfelt action, that we're doers and not only hearers of the words. In other words, when Jesus looked at these lost people around him, he saw them again as they really were. And at that time, he was able to look beyond the facades of self-sufficiency or self-righteousness or even self-confidence. What did Jesus see? He saw the pain. He saw the pain etched on people's faces. They may have been smiling and looking, but he is able to get beyond that, to see the pain and the loneliness and the futility and the misery that those people were feeling and sensing in their hearts. Jesus saw people who fainted, that is, grew weary under the load of their sins. And the unrealistic expectations forced upon them by their religious leaders. He saw people who were scattered, literally, to be cast down or thrown out or even despised. People who were wandering aimlessly through life with no direction and no planned destination. He saw people who lived life with no shepherd for their souls. He saw a people who were utterly and hopelessly lost. And church, how we need to see the multitudes exactly the way that Jesus saw them. Maybe you look at your neighbors, maybe you don't. But maybe you look at your neighbors or even your relatives, and they seem to be happy. Let's say it this way. And they have good jobs and plenty of money and a nice house and all the things that the world or you can offer them. Plenty of people live like that in the world we're living in today. But listen to this. If we could look into their hearts, do you hear me? If we could look into their hearts, I believe you would see times of turmoil. Absolute turmoil. I believe you would see fear. I believe you'd see loneliness and desperation and worry that at some point they might lose it all. They could lose it all. They have no solutions for their fear. What do they need? They need Jesus. They need Jesus. Maybe you know another family beyond that family or individual who has a more obvious, tougher time or harder life. They own very little and live in a web of complex situations and even relationships. Perhaps their lives are driven by alcohol or driven by drugs, and they seem somewhat antagonistic towards people who try to tell them about Jesus. Perhaps they are just trying to survive moment by moment. But listen again, if you and I could rip aside the layers of their lives, and if we for a moment could just peer into their souls, you know what we would see? You would see people who are afraid to die. You'd even see people who are afraid to live. Because there are people without hope all over this world, all over this community, and they desperately need someone to tell them as they really are and see them as they really are. Someone who can see them as they are and still love them. Praise God. That is the person who can reach them for Jesus Christ. And those kind of comparisons, we could go on all morning forever about those things, literally. But what Jesus really saw, what he really saw was the end of those people's existence. That's what he saw. He knew that without a relationship with him, every one of those people was doomed to perish in hell. Every one of them. And that is what we, you and I, need to see today about friends, about neighbors and families. Those ones who may look like they've got it all together. Lord. You see, they might look like they've got it all together. But if they're lost, let me tell you the truth. They are headed to hell, and they need to be saved by the grace of God. Can we see them? Can we see them as they really are today? Can you see them the same way that Jesus saw them? He knows their condition, yet he still loves them. And may the Lord Jesus Christ help us see the harvest through the eyes of Jesus. Because let me say this, Jesus' heart grieves over every single soul. Praise God. Every single soul is precious to Jesus. Every single one. And God grieves because those who die without Jesus die without ever knowing just how much He loves them. The harvest is precious, but according to Matthew 9:36, the harvest is also perplexed. Look at it in there. Jesus described the crowd as being harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Wow. Harassed meant that they were defeated by life. The toils and struggles had punched them in the stomach just one too many times. They are down for the final count. Ready to quit. Wonder how many of us in the church today, in the room today, have been at the point of throwing in the towel. Anyone? Calling it a day. Had enough. Don't want to do this anymore. Why am I here? If you're still asking yourself, why am I here? Get on the Alpha course. That'll bring your revelation to you. Ready to quit. Wow. See, helpless meant they were broken. How many people do we know that are broken and defeated and lost, living this so-called life without any purpose? How many people do we know that are wandering aimlessly through this world today? People we know without hope, without meaning, without a reason, so-called for leaving, like sheep without a shepherd, meant they would follow. This is what's happening in the world today. It meant they would follow any new idea or way to destruction, any new trend. They'll just get in line and follow that. How do we know that? Because you'll discover that sheep are dumb. And I'm not looking at anyone. Sheep put their heads down and follow the sheep in front. And here's what happens. If a guide or leader in the pack does not exist, they will simply wander and wander and wander until they ultimately destroy themselves. They are desperate for meaning. They are desperate for purpose, distraught by the world's lies. They are heading for destruction. They are walking down a path that Jesus referred to as the broad road that leads to death. And they need someone to light up the path that they find themselves on. Let me give you now one or two things quickly. See the harvest? The harvest is perishing. The harvest is, God help us. On another occasion, Jesus said to his followers in John 4, verse 35, open your eyes. Open your eyes. Why? Because the church so often walks around with its eyes shut and doesn't really want to see the issues and the problems that are taking place in our world. Open your eyes. The fields are ripe. They are ripe for harvest. I read that ripened wheat takes on a kind of golden hue when ready for harvest. However, listen to this. Hear this in the spirit. If reaping is delayed, the grain begins to turn this kind of pale white and will soon fall over onto the ground. To speak of the fields white unto harvest, it actually stresses the imperative of getting into the fields before it's too late. My, how the church procrastinates so often over so many things. God forgive us. There has to be a sense of urgency in relation to bringing in the harvest. There has to be. We are living in the most desperate times perhaps we have ever lived before. And desperate times for you and I now demand action. We are living in a time when people steal and cheat and kill because they simply demand their own way. We live in a lost and broken world that is desperate for the good news of Jesus Christ. Desperate for it. And as followers of Jesus, we have so much work to do. And I believe so little time to achieve. We have to give ourselves wholeheartedly to this work. Because the times we live in demand urgent action from every single one of us. Remember, the gospel is only good news if it actually gets there on time. That's when it's good news. Feel what Jesus feels. He is overwhelmed by his love for people as he sees the vastness of the crowds, the perplexity of the problems, and the sense of urgency in reaching them. So let me finish our series with this. The harvest, the vision of church is prayer, amen. Discipleship, the priority is the harvest. The priority is, look at what Jesus says in verses 37, 38. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are, amen. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Hallelujah. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, saw the common people as chaff to be destroyed and burned up. Jesus saw them as a harvest to be reaped and to be saved. Praise God. The Pharisees, in their pride, looked for the destruction of sinners. Jesus, in love, died for the salvation of sinners. Praise God. And herein lies one of the great truths of the Christian faith. Listen to this. The harvest will never be reaped unless there are reapers to reap it. Jesus Christ sends men and women to bring in the harvest. Reaping the soul harvest is going to be difficult work. It's going to be hard work. And few, it seems, are willing to actually roll up their sleeves and get involved in the work. In Matthew 4, verses 18 through 20, Jesus called his men to follow him, promising to make them fishers of men. Now understand this. To fish requires the fishermen actually go where the fish are. Mm-hmm. Where's that? To the water. Don't go fishing in dry land. That would be foolish. So if you grow vegetables like my dad, then know that the harvest doesn't just gather itself in. That would be lovely. You've got to get out there. You've got to get down. You've got to get dirty in the work of harvesting it and bring it in. Wouldn't it be absolutely lovely? I mean, wouldn't it be lovely if the potatoes or the onions or the beetroot or the carrots all picked themselves and gathered themselves at the back door of the house? Doesn't work like that, does it? No. To harvest your garden, you have to go to where the harvest is. And the same is true in bringing people to Jesus. We can sit in the church, but we won't see a harvest until we go to where lost people are. It is going to be messy, dirty work, but it must be done or the harvest will never be reaped. Jesus' followers today need to see people as Jesus saw them, as plentiful, precious, perplexed, and perishing. What can we do? Well, here's the thing. We need to begin by taking responsibility for our field. Praise God. How do we do that? Well, think of all the people we're in contact with every single day. Family, friends, neighbors, colleagues, the woman in the corner shop, the guy at the petrol station, the person on the bus, the girl who does your nails. That's just the women. Folks, the folks are the guys and the girls we play football with, the people we see in the gym, other mums at the school gates, or dads. That is our field. We are responsible for them. We will never, ever, ever have a sense of urgency and priority until we realize at some point God has given them into our care and we are responsible for them. I'm just going to cut through to the end here. How do we do this? Many ways. We can pray about it. We can go. One of the great things about evangelism is you get to share your story, what Jesus done in your life. We can ask people. We can invite people. We can invite people. And that's the thing I just want to stay with, the invitation. Jesus was all about the invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It was all about the invitation. We can invite people simple for a coffee. We've got the best cafe in Paisley. Hallelujah. We can invite people to a group. Do you know how many people? You wouldn't know this, Gabby. I had done a head count in the amount of people that passed through Mosvale's doors with prayer meeting, sewing together, the welcome cafe, the women, the men's meeting, and just in and around the church, from those 5 days, not on Sunday, there was over 500 people who passed through the doors. And listen, I would say amongst that group, probably 30 to 40% were saved. It's a thought. There's a 60% deficit in there somewhere that's ready to be harvested and ready to be brought in. I read this great quote this week. It says, "Invitational evangelism is the process by which we invite others to attend the banquet which God has prepared for them." I love that. Yes, Father, next time. Leading others to taste and see that God is so good. And through this, since the start of the year, I really hope that your heart will be stirred to make a difference in the harvest field. You see, when we begin to see people as Jesus saw them, it begins to make all the difference in the world, not only to us, but to them. When we see people as Jesus saw people, it will cause us to take responsibility, to pray, to go, to tell people about Jesus. Back to our beginnings. Oscar Schindler said, "I could have done more. I could have done more." Guys, can we do more when it comes to bringing in the harvest of souls? Could we? The songwriter says, "Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, We will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Singing again, we will come. Bringing in the sheaves, hallelujah. Bringing in the sheaves. We will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. We will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Now, normally I'd pray at the end, but today we're going to sing a song, an old, old song today, so you can be seated. You can just sit and listen to this incredible voice. Who was that? When I think of where you brought me from and where I could have been, crippled, broken, ruined, burdened down with sin, I just lift my hands to thank you for all you've given me. And I cry, give me a heart, Lord, to win the lost for thee. Give me a heart for others, a longing to bring souls to thee. Give me the privilege to tell them of your love on Calvary's tree. Into the highways and byways, I'll be what you want me to be. Give me a heart for others, that I might win them for thee. Sing it, Peter.
I've been brought into your family to feel your warm embrace. You showed me that you care for me. You saved me by your grace. And when I see the many blessings that you have given me, Lord, I cry, give me a heart, Lord, to win the lost for thee. Give me to Thee. Give me the privilege to tell them of Your love on Calvary's tree. Into the highways and byways, I'll be what You want me to be. Give me a heart for others that I might win them for Thee.
If that's your commitment, stand and sing that with us today. Give me a heart for others. Come on.
Give me a heart for others, a longing to bring souls to Thee. Give me the privilege to tell them of Your love on Calvary's tree. Into the highways and byways, oh, I'll be what You want me to be. Give me a heart for others that I might win them for Thee.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And Father,
in the name of Jesus, we want to make that commitment as Your church. Give us a heart, the same heart as Jesus, a heart for others, to win souls to Thee. We know, Lord, we can't save them, but we can tell them. You do the saving because You saved us. So we pray for these words that we've heard over the last few weeks together. We pray they'd resonate in this church throughout this year and for our remaining days, Father, where we serve You here on earth. We thank You for the privilege. We have to tell them the great news, the gospel news, that Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ is on the throne. He is sitting in heavenly places interceding for us right now. And I pray, Lord, that we would not take for granted that we have just been saved and that's it, but we've been commissioned by Your word to go into all the gospel and share this incredible, incredible message of love to those who need to hear it. We pray blessing on it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can take your seats, folks.